Hello everyone, I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics at 5:01 p.m. Eastern on the 27th of April. Beautiful day here. Hope it's a beautiful day where you are. I'm going to be reading from page 152 of the Might of Thoughts, and then after that we're going to play a clip from Brighteon.com. An attorney who's, he's got a lot of very interesting things to say. We'll leave it at that. I'm still trying to pull this page together. Let me read the first paragraph for you, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. The origin of the thoughts thereby forms from various factors, which arise both from ideas and views, as well as from wishes and desires and so forth, but also from experiences and all kinds of situations of life which call forth certain emotional impulsations, and in this form bring about the effect of their origin on the thoughts that follow. And this is, I've had to really think about this for weeks now, trying to look at my own thoughts and try to understand where they're coming from. What was the origin of the thoughts? It says, the origin of the thoughts thereby forms from various factors, which could include your ideas, your views, your wishes and desires. I give you a silly example. My dogs are often very wild, and I have a wish and a desire for them to be calmer at times, and when they're not, sometimes I lose my temper. So, and it's, and I wonder, I sit there and I wonder and I think to myself, why did I get so angry? Why did I get so angry? It's such a silly thing, which is to be expected. So you have to really analyze the origin of your thoughts. They come from, in this case, wish and desire to have calm and to have order and that sort of thing. And also, but also from experiences in all kinds of situations of life. So I think if you've had, I think all of this plays in together. For example, what's buried in your subconscious? Do you really need order? Do you really want to have calm and peace? And in a sense, are you really willing to put forth the effort to even fight for that if necessary? So you have to sit and think and analyze yourself a little bit when these things happen. Now, emotions, remember, emotions, they kind of come surging upward. They're not like feelings. The feelings grow out of the thoughts. The feelings help us control our life, because the feelings, they simplify things, they summarize things. That's how the feelings work. The feelings are very helpful, I believe, and I think the Meyer information tries to make that clear. Feelings, they grow out of the thoughts, they come slowly. Where the emotions really come raging upward, so we have to watch out for those emotions. Now, the feelings, we're told not to stifle our feelings, but to allow them to grow. So, and then you have to wonder, of course, why you're having a certain feeling. Why is it that you're getting a certain feeling? And how do your feelings affect even your appearance, your thoughts? How do they affect your appearance? And I was reading here about how the sometimes the wrinkles that appear come from the immoderateness and the selfishness and some of the unhealthy thoughts that we have. So we have to be careful about these kind of things. This, you know, the Meyer information, I know if you've been reading the Meyer information for a while, you start to realize how much there is that really you have to go over again and again and again to really get a see the feelings grab the thoughts, they're life sustaining. They enable us to quickly process internal and external stimulation. They make life easier, bearable. They simplify things. They allow the thoughts to discharge. So your thoughts, I guess they are a great power, and you need to release some of that. And the importance is to release it in a way that's constructive and in such a way that you can stay neutral, positive. Therefore, it is necessary to control the origin of the thoughts in order then, in a controlled manner, to form the thoughts from that and to steer them in such a form that their might really only makes real all that which is healthy, good, right, and positive. And on the next paragraph, I'll just read a few lines here. Comment on a couple of things. A clear, clean, neutral, positive, equalized thinking leads the enormous might in it to create neutral, positive, equalized habits. Now, I just discovered this a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago. I didn't realize you could have neutral, positive, equalized habits. And that's really where the schedule is so important. To try to have a schedule, a good steady schedule, because it becomes a habit. You know, you do things at a certain time and then you start to have neutral, positive, equalized thoughts and feelings and habits, and it keeps your life moving in this healthy direction. Wishes and determinations constantly arise, which altogether have an evolutive effect. You know, I was thinking today about a negative thought that might have had an evolutive effect. I was getting ready to walk outside, and I was taking a break. It was at noontime. I was going to just sit for a few minutes in the sun. And I remembered, I just about walked out the door, and I remembered I wanted to get some of this diatomaceous earth that I had in a piece of some plastic, because one of my cats is just licking herself to death. She's actually licked her fur bear in a whole bunch of places. So if I put that on, it seems to help a lot. So, and I had this, I opened the door and I had this feeling and this thought that came to me at the same time that something was wrong or I was forgetting something. And I had to sit there and I'd stand there, I mean, for a few minutes. I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to get that stuff. So I came back in and then I thought, bingo. That was a negative thought, like I thought that something bad was about to happen. It wasn't really, really bad. I would have just gone all the way outside and got on the porch and then realized, oh, dang, I guess I had done that before, you see. So so the negative thoughts have an evolutive power too. So there are negative thoughts that you can have that are safe. Like it's that feeling that you need to slow down when you're driving your car and pretty soon a squirrel runs in front of you or a deer or something like that. So anyway, the thoughts are so important, so powerful, so incredibly powerful. A clear, clean, neutral, positive, equalized thinking leads the enormous might in it to create a neutral, positive, equalized habits, which from which also new healthy, positive, valuable ideas, wishes, and determinations can constantly arise, which altogether have an evolutive effect. Human beings in whom clean, good, and positive thoughts are inherent and who have decisively strengthened these thoughts are practically impervious to influences which harm the psyche because of the might of the healthy, pure thoughts, in fact, does not allow any kind of attack which could be averted. Therefore, if the human being wants to keep his or her psyche and physical body in type form and wants to relatively absolutely fulfill himself according to all possibilities, then he or she must care for his or her consciousness. And that's the key. caring for your consciousness, I believe, not only is taking the time to read something like this, but to have that concept on the back burner in your mind, so as you go through the rest of the day, you're observing your thoughts. Be an observer of your own thoughts, because from it arise the ideas, wishes, and so forth, from which in turn thoughts are created, which then let their might come into play and form everything as is demanded by the kind of thoughts. So feelings are very important because they grow out of the thoughts. The feelings are very useful. They must not be fought and eliminated. Observe your thoughts. Have a little neutrality where you can step back, analyze your thoughts. When something occurs, when you become emotional, or when you've had a negative thought that was useful, or a positive thought that was also useful. The idea is to have these neutral positive thoughts that aren't way positive and certainly aren't way negative, but a little bit to the positive. Remember that to think about the origin of your thoughts. Where is this coming from? Why am I having these kind of thoughts, these intense thoughts? Is this from a feeling? Is it my own desire? Maybe. And remember that the good neutral positive thoughts can also lead to neutral positive habits, and the importance of the schedule. This is one of the creational natural laws, is following a system in order kind of schedule. First creational natural law being love, effective love, brotherly love. The second creational natural law is striving, working, focused, and always striving, working. That's where your happiness comes from, by the way. And people don't realize that. And then third is the law of harmony, and that's what we're working on most of the time while we're studying this book. Okay, enough of that for now, and I'm going to play a clip from attorney Leigh Dundas on the human rights and this horrible vaccine. Please, people, don't take this vaccine. It is so unhealthy. And they're trying to force it on us because they're trying to kill off about how many of us? 6 billion, 7 billion of us. Anyway, let's go.
All right, welcome everybody to Brighteon.com, Brighteon Conversations. Check out this 1 minute video clip with Leigh Dundas. Here we go.
Leigh Dundas, human rights attorney. Let me be nothing if not clear. You can call this any damn thing you want. A vaccination verification system, a composite app, ink contract for $3.8 million buried in item 28. We all know it when we see it. It is a digital vaccine passport, and there's a reason Clayton Chow shied away from it on camera the other night and said people think it's controversial. Hell yes, it's controversial. It is the beginning and the end of Nazi Germany. It is show me your papers, please, before you pass. It is an electronic dog collar. And since when did Orange County become the People's Republic of China? You won't leave Warsaw ghettos. I won't be able to leave my house because nobody will service me. Are you really okay with big tech knowing every damn place you've been, from Chipotle to the post office to Disneyland, because you had to scan it every single time you left your house? And do not for a second try to absolve yourselves saying, oh, the marketplace is going to do it. It's on Costco. It's on Disneyland. We're not doing it. That's like the guy who drove the cattle car to Auschwitz saying, there's no blood on my hands. Unlike you all call it what it is. This is a Nazi plan, and you are the Fourth Reich if you vote for it.
All right. Was that awesome or what? And guess what? We've got Leigh Dundas with us right here today joining us to talk about your health freedom. She is a human rights attorney, part of a group called citizens-rights.org. That's the URL. We got a lot to talk about today. Welcome, Leigh. It's great to have you on the show.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, you made a lot of waves with that video and another three-minute video, that three-minute speech you delivered at Orange County. You're getting people's attention, and people love you. You're fiery. You're informed. You're arguing the right points. Tell us, how has it been with this fight that you're in?
Well, I'm not sure any of us lawyers ever woke up and wanted to become the equivalent of a modern-day rock star, but such is the world we're living in, and when one in Rome, right? So, you know, I live in Orange County, California. It's a traditionally conservative county. It's a very sane county. We love our elected officials on a normal year, or at least most of them. But about 10, 14 days ago, I woke up to watch my elected officials, or at least some of them, losing their mind. I mean, we had our superintendent of schools and our local county health officer hatching a plan on a live Zoom call where parents were watching to turn our taxpayer-funded campuses into, you know, deployment centers, essentially, for a COVID-19 vaccine that killed every last animal. And then they went one step further and they said, you know, we're going to try to find a way to legally sidestep informed parental consent. I'm not sure what that would look like, but in my mind, it conjured up images of the school nurse, you know, bribing little Johnny after kindergarten recess with a pink donut, since that's what they're doing, you know, with adults, is giving him free gift cards and donuts. Why wouldn't it work on the children, right? Bribing little Johnny to go get a COVID shot that his parents would be none the wiser about, when we've seen a skyrocketing of adverse events and deaths in the first quarter of this year, compared to normal years where the only vaccines really being given our childhood vaccines and the occasional flu shot. So I was a little upset about that. Our Orange County Board of Education was on our side. They were kind enough at the meeting to let me and about 200 or 300 of my closest friends have public comment almost until midnight, wow. You know, giving voice to the fact that we thought this was not just a bad plan, but an immoral plan as well as an illegal plan under international, federal, and state law.
Well, that's where I really want to ask you, because that's your area of expertise, human rights. It seems to me that most people are aware that they own their own body, right? At least that should be a fundamental human right. And doesn't that mean then that a person gets to decide to say no to a government intervention that pierces their skin and injects them with experimental substances? Let's start there.
Yeah, I mean, that is the essential nature of it. You said it well, and I don't think I need to restate it. But the only thing I would add to that is that, you know, the last time, as I said in front of the Board of Ed, that any population decided in its wisdom to do experiments on children, of all people, on vulnerable populations, was the Third Reich. And the reason we have the Nuremberg codes is a direct result of that, where, you know, the international community, ironically led by the American judges who sat in judgment against the Nazi war criminals, including the doctors' trials, where the doctors who conducted these experiments on children were put in the hot seat and then convicted. The upshot of that was the American community, the judicial community, and the rest of the world saying, we are not going to experiment on people, and certainly not without their absolute informed consent. If you've got an experimental product, you're expected to give better informed consent than you would with the average product that's been, you know, signed off on by the FDA. And that's where we're at right now. I mean, I think a lot of your listeners may not know. Well, a lot of your listeners might actually know, but a lot of the world seems to not understand this is a very experimental vaccine. The reason they could never develop a coronavirus vaccine prior to 2020 is because every time they went to do the animal trials, you know, the little ferrets or whatever they injected would be perfectly fine for a little while. And then when they got exposed to the virus in the wild, when their bodies were challenged by exposure to the full virus, which is when you think your little vaccine is going to ride into the glory of the day and defend you with all these antibodies you've built up. Instead, what happened to the ferrets and the other lab animals is they basically turned on a cytokine storm, an inflammatory response that essentially nuked and liquefied their innards until they had eaten to death or died. And I don't know if the masses in America, if they fully understood the dirty story of the attempts to develop and failed attempts to develop a coronavirus vaccine prior to today, if they would be lining up in quite the numbers that they are now. But certainly when it comes to kids, certainly when it comes to informed consent, there's a hard line in the sand that says, yes, you do own your body, and no, other people, including the government, do not get to experiment on you. And if they do, it is only after a very fulsome and thorough informed consent that is to be had by the subject of the medical experiment, which is what this is.
Well, you brought up so many important points. I've got a ton of questions for you here, but first let me give out your website. It's leedundas.com, and Lee is spelled L-E-I-G-H, I believe, leedundas.com, and to check out your work. But coming out of the history, you know, most people today, it seems, have forgotten history or maybe never learned it. And wasn't it true that many of these mainstream scientists and doctors, you know, they would be called Dr., you know, Mengele today or whoever, They had PhDs and MD degrees. They were hanged to death, or some of them were, following the guilty verdict in trials concerning their crimes against humanity. So there was a recognition that what they did was abhorrent to human dignity and human civilization, and that it should never be repeated, and that a message should be sent to the future. And we are in that future now, and the message from the 1940s was this shall never happen again, and that society will kill anyone, any doctor, any PhD who conducts such experiments on human beings. And here we are again, not that many years later, what, 70-something years later, we're doing it again.
Well, folks, amazing words. It's where we're at. Incredible. Hopefully I'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.